are.
Hello and welcome to episode 361 of the Hooniverse podcast.
Good number.
I was supposed to record another one with Ron this week, but he got sick, and then the next night he went on a date, and then the next day he went on a podcast with Musto, and I don't blame him for any of that. I would have done, minus the sickness, all of that, so it's fine. This was going to be a bonus episode, but has now become a regular episode. as the voice of my good friend, Patrick Costello, James Patrick Costello, if you go by his email address. He is a producer in television, and we met because I wrote words about cars for a little show called Top Gear USA, which you were in charge of for quite a while. And you've been on the show before, and how's it going?
Life's good, man. It's busy. Still doing car stuff.
Are you though?
Yeah, dude. I was booking a full on trophy truck team today for another show. Like, it was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, we got to shoot with them next week down outside of Plaster City.
Wow. The reason I say that is because you're welcome to come on the show anytime.
Always fun.
But it's timely because you had a fairly large premiere of a show for Disney Plus, which that is huge. Hosted by Jeremy Renner, which that is huge. And you went around the globe and you did a build show. You did a build show for Disney Plus with Jeremy Renner. So it's called Renovations. Why don't you give us I know about the show because I've watched it too many times recently.
Why don't you
tell me about the show for our listeners?
Fair. So Jeremy Renner is a big movie star, played Hawkeye, Hurt Locker. A lot of people know who he is. Big movie star. He got to buying decommissioned large vehicles from municipalities, large institutions, things like that. I don't know what the first one was, but now he owns 200 plus.
It's crazy.
I don't think the guy's ever bought a new car, but he has all these vehicles. He found that he just was drawn to them in a way, you know, that is a little perplexing, but very interesting. And he wanted to save them from being sent to scrap. He thought a lot of these vehicles are really well maintained. Some of them have crazy low miles.
Low mileage, right?
Yeah.
And they're taxpayer-funded vehicles.
Yeah, totally. So they're funded by the taxpayers. They're in great condition. And a lot of times they replace them, not because they need new vehicles, but because they got to spend the tax money. And so he thought that they could live another life. He thought they still had a lot to give. So he started buying them. Wasn't quite sure what he was going to do with them. And then he took one. And these vehicles are all over the map. So they're tour buses, airport shuttle buses. And I'm not lying. He does have some like old movie studio tour trolley things around in his yard.
That's cool.
Yeah, they're awesome. And that, you know, but he's got like big rigs. He's got like city
water
buses,
trucks.
Water truck, you name it, fire trucks. He's got over a dozen fire trucks. If you name it, he's got one there. He's got the most badass 70s van you've ever seen with like the 70s paint job. I mean, the thing is incredible. And, you know, he's buying stuff at auction. He also has a Ferrari that he drives around that he also bought at auction. You know, yeah,
awesome.
It's all amazing. So he took one of these vehicles, the fire truck, turned it into a vehicle for kids' birthday parties. He swapped out some seats, put in some TVs. I think he put a soft serve machine in there. Like, he wanted to do something cool for the Reno community. So he got going on this, and then his friends were, you know, kind of like, I think there's a show in here somewhere. So they all got talking, and then he really, once somebody kind of floated that, he got super excited about that because not necessarily he wanted to do television. He just wanted to get, like, a message out, like, to say, like, I'm doing this stuff anyway on my own. And so like, I am doing this, I can do anything. Like, anybody can do something. And then once, you know, he's a very passionate person. So once he got that in his head, like, there was no stopping him. And so he built the show out with, you know, a partner of his, who's become a good friend of mine, and sold it to Disney. And here we all are a couple of years later.
I'm going to ask you to say, what's his actionable line that he says in the beginning which is almost like the ethos of the show.
He does the show with his buddy Rory. So Rory says, okay, Jeremy, like, what's the plan? And he says, I want to make actionability and thoughtfulness of others cool as fuck. And that, and it's like the cool as fuck part is like very Jeremy. It's got that edge to it that like, because like, I think the idea of like helping people or like doing good, you know, it's great, but it has a softness to it. You know what I mean? And Jeremy's like not a soft guy. He's got a softness to it that like, and this is not that. It's doing good for other people, but it's a little edgy. You know what I mean? It's like the character Jeremy plays. It's like, it's fucking cool. Like, do something nice for somebody because that's fucking awesome, bro.
Yeah, that's the best part. That's the best part for me. Hearing that message is awesome. And then on top of that, just finding out that like a guy who, you know, like I'm a Marvel fan. So I thought the Hawkeye series was actually pretty good too. I liked it. It was like a Christmas.
It was cool. Christmas.
It's great. But like when you show the footage, there's like aerial shots of this lot that Renner owns. And the dude basically owns a junkyard of heavy equipment.
The first time we went into the yard, and this is true, so I fly up, you know, I signed my deal for the show. I fly up, I'm like, I gotta go to Reno. And I go, and his friend, he's surrounded by some really incredible people. So a buddy of his and I became good friends. And he takes me over to this lot, and we pull into the lot, and I'm like, so are those, like, we pull into this one section and there's like city buses and there's like 20 of them and they're just stacked up deep. And I'm like, oh, okay. So this is like Jeremy's stuff. And I'm like, no, I don't think you quite get it. Like the whole thing are all Jeremy's stuff. And I'm like, you know, I start looking around and it's just like, you know, they're all pretty tall. And it's like, as far as you could see in any direction, it was like fucking vehicles. It was amazing.
So the premise of the show, to get back to that, you know, it started with an idea of Jeremy is doing this shit on his own. He's taking these vehicles and he wants to do it. And someone's like, dude, wait, we can do this. We can turn this into a show. And, you know, some people out there will be like, oh, well, now you're trying to monetize it. Like, no,
he doesn't need the money.
He doesn't need the money.
Sure.
He's doing this to get back to that actionable item that we just talked about, to show other people that it's cool to help people. And, well, because I asked him. I met Jeremy on the red carpet. I got to go to the premiere.
You did great.
And I asked him. Thank you. So did you.
I was sorry.
we'll get more into that in a second. So I was supposed to have two questions. They cut me to one. and I said, if you get a season two, what's your dream build? And he said, I'm already doing it. I already... If when the cameras stop, I'm still going to continue to build these. And I was like, well, shit. And he actually talked about the water truck that brings, like, it cools people off in the neighborhoods. It's fun for parents. And so I was like, wow, okay, shit, that takes this to a deeper level. And that was pretty great. But getting back to the actual production of the show, you were brought in. How about this? Let's take this back a step for people who don't fully understand television.
Sure.
What is a showrunner?
Okay. So a showrunner is an inside TV term to that identifies for sort of people in entertainment who is in charge of the show creatively. Because you'll see shows, it's applied to unscripted and scripted, and you'll have like a lot of executive producers on the call sheet. You'll have a lot of writers, you know, there will be lots of people on a show, but really... one or sometimes two people, you know, working as a partnership, like, are in charge of the creative vision of the show. I mean, it takes a team to do this. I mean, and we had an incredible team. To do any really great piece of creative television work or film work, like, you need a solid team. But somebody's got to be, you know, leading the team, and that's the showrunner. You know, it's kind of like in television, it's a television term. So in television, really, it's the showrunner that's in charge. Whereas in film, it's really the director that's in charge. So that's kind of okay. We have directors in television, but you know, they won't direct all the episodes. You know, they're there to execute a vision, and the vision of the show and the whole thing is the showrunner, but it's also, it's not just the showrunner. The showrunner is interfacing with the production company and then the network. So you're not solely in charge of the show, but you are the one interfacing with the client, the network, and then the production company. So it's really,
right,
you know, you're taking in what they want out of the show, you know, and then you're executing their vision and bringing your own, you know, ethos. They hire you usually because you have a, you know, a take on the show. You have your version of it and they like that version. And then, you know, right, a lot of times it's just about executing that. And I mean, sometimes you're not even, you're executing a vision, but you might not necessarily be executing your vision. Like you, sometimes you come into a show and they want a specific show and you're like, great. And you're like, your job is to just make that version of that show. But, you know, you're the guy that it's, everybody's going to blame if it goes wrong. And maybe if you're lucky, you'll get some of the credit if it goes right.
So you've worked in television for a very long time. How many times have you been the show runner?
Oh, Jesus. Too long. I mean, a lot of people kind of pivot out of it because it's so stressful, right? They do it for a little bit to get to that next thing. But somehow I've been doing it a while.
Were you the showrunner for Top Gear? Was that the title?
Yeah. I mean, showrunner isn't a title. I was just an executive producer, but my job was showrunner.
Okay. So it's not an official title. It's just kind of a TV. Oh,
no,
really?
Not an official title. Okay. Like it's not. They'll put it on call sheets so people know, but it's not like it's in the credits or anything.
So you it's typically billed as like an executive producer.
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
So you're the EP who doesn't put money up sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, usually people get an EP credit if they're somehow materially relevant to the existence of the show. Like if without them, the show wouldn't have existed. And that's usually how they could be money, could be relationships, whatever it is. Like usually if you're an EP, you either are somebody that runs the production company or you have some sort of very important role in the existence of the show. Or you're the governor.
They brought you in though, and it was Disney Plus, so
correct,
it's a big deal. Jeremy Renner, it's a big deal. And you can say no to my next question, and we'll move on. Are you allowed to talk about the other project you were in talks of against this show? You can say no to that, and I won't be offended because I know the answer. I was talking to someone at the company who's like, oh, that's why his name sounds familiar. Because I was at a thing with someone else at the company involved with the who would have been involved.
Yeah,
with the
I'm
other
okay
show. You
I'm
don't
okay
have to say
talk about it.
Okay, because it's car related, so it's
right?
interesting.
It happened. Yeah,
I don't know if it happened. It might have. You know what? I think it happened, and I think they're sitting on the footage to bring it out. Yes.
I mean, that was a dream job too. Okay, so when I was talking to them about renovations, and you know, a lot of times when you're talking to people about shows, you're not sure if it's going to happen or not. You know, television, entertainment in general is very fluid. So you always want to have backups, not backups, but.
And you're freelance.
You're a freelance
person. Yeah.
You're always talking to people about different projects. And I'm lucky enough now where, you know, I have had opportunities for truly incredible things. And almost at the same time that renovations came up, another project came up that was incredible. And I just, God, I would have loved to have done it. So it was Ken Block driving the Tuttle Porsche in East Africa. And I had worked in
East Africa. And more specifically, the East Africa safari route.
So I had worked in East Africa before. And I've worked in Africa a couple of times. So I'm familiar with it. And, you know, I was talking to them about it. And God damn, I would have loved to have done that. I mean, obviously, I didn't know then what we all know now, but at the same time, it was like exactly the kind of stuff that I just,
that's your wheelhouse.
You're just like, you love it. You just love it so much, everything about it. The international, the countries, I mean, the people there, the Maasai are incredible. But, you know, this renovations thing already had a lot of steam behind it. And then like, boom, my deal locks. I had to tell him like, I'm sorry. Like I'm booked on this other project.
Also the Disney Plus one is a career mover. Let's be real.
But only if it works. And this was renovations was high risk, high reward. I mean, when people like, they asked me on the carpet, speaking of one of the press outlets, they're like, what did you think about it? And I'm like, I was terrified. Like, I didn't think it could be done, you know? So, yeah, I mean, yeah, the Ken Block thing, I still, you know, think about it a lot, like how that all shakes out.
It would have been super rad.
It would have been a life-changing experience in its own way, right? And that's what this business is. When it rains, it pours, you know? Sometimes you have two incredible projects that are just so, just like you want to see them both. You just wish they would happen at separate times, but that's just not how the business works.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, I felt incredibly passionate about renovations, because I'm like, holy shit, I get to like do my thing for something that like helps other people. Like, that doesn't come up.
No, that's a big one. Yeah,
right?
I agree.
So I'm just like, this is...
You're right. It never comes up.
No,
exactly.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, so I felt so compelled to try. And also, I knew the show was like, I wasn't sure if it was doable, but I thought I could probably do it. So I just really wanted it to work. You know, like, just I wanted the mission to be successful, like, out there in the world. But like, as soon as I started talking about the show, I immediately started calling builders and other people I know, and I'm like, here's what we're doing, here's how long we have, like, is this even achievable? Like, I don't know that it is. It may not be. Like, I don't know. Please tell me the truth. You know, and I got a lot of input from a lot of different people. I mean, obviously, you know, it's like our world, like the car world, the build world, it's pretty small. Like, you know, I mean, a lot of people know each other, and you can get a lot of information very quickly. And people were great with their time and expertise and like kind of helping me like assess like just the nuts and bolts, like are the builds achievable with the resources we have.
Right. So for those of you wondering why the hell we're talking about this on essentially a car podcast, even though we've tried to expand the focus a little bit.
Well, easily. I have a good story there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me get back to that. Renovations is a build show.
Sure.
It's a Disney Plus
at
build
its core,
show. And I asked Patrick, it's 100% a build show, but I wrote an article about this for AutoTrader where I said like, it's a show with a mission where the byproduct is entertainment. And it's still a build show, and it's weird to see one on Disney Plus, but then Disney or you actually did a good job of being like, not going in too deep, but then also showing just enough to keep the people who like build shows like, all right, so I'm seeing some of the fabrication, but I'm not seeing, it's not like, like Orange County Choppers were like, we have 3 weeks. Like, there's a deadline, but like, there's none of that. Like, it's not overly forced. There's definitely like, hey, we have a deadline, we have to hit this, but it's not like, if we don't do this, our business is sunk. You know, it's none of that like manufactured bullshit.
Fake stakes.
Right. Right. So I appreciate that side of it. That part I enjoy. Because it's still a build show, and build show, you guys managed to do a build show. And I don't give a shit about build shows, to be completely honest. And I enjoyed it because it wasn't just always in the same location. So your show, for those of you listening, and it's out, so you can watch them minus one episode.
Yeah, please watch
later
it
or something like that. But the details of all the episodes are out. It's a 4-part series, and each part, it's basically, there's a Chicago episode, there's a Reno episode, there's an India episode, and there's a Mexico episode. So this is a global show, and each episode invites some celebrity who's related to Jeremy in some manner or can help him get his message across and help him do his thing. And it's pretty cool, especially the India episode where you bring in Anil Kapoor, who's basically the Tom Cruise of
100%.
India, to build a water treatment truck. I mean, that's noble as fuck right
he
there.
He was amazing.
What was it like
Such
shooting
a
in India?
Pro. What's that?
What was it like shooting in India?
It was hot as F. So we shot in India during a historic, we shot in Rajasthan, India during a historic heat wave. We were physically there in production while worldwide publications were taking note of the extreme temperatures where we were in India. It was the ambient air temperature, like just total ambient air temperature was 118, 120. Every day.
Oh
and it
God.
Wasn't like it peaked once. It was like that was the temperature.
So even the guys there were like,
yeah, it was hot. I mean, it was historic. They were shattering records. You know what I mean? There are places on the planet that like peak higher, but like the whole area was just like that hot all day. it was brutal. It was brutal. Like I had crew going down like heat stroke, you know, and it's hard. Like, especially I've worked in India a bunch, so I was ready, like just kind of psychologically, and just I knew what it was going to be like. But like we had people that had never been, and so you know you get a little of the Delhi belly when you get there, and if you're dealing with that,
yeah, I've never been, but yeah, I've heard of that.
Dealing
yeah.
with that, and you're dealing with the heat, and you're dealing with, it was like a lot, you know, for the crew. So we had people going down, and it was physically hard. And like if you watch the show, like we're even the stuff in the garage, like it was so high. The garage is effectively like a metal building, so it was an oven. You know, there's no insulation on it. We had AC right. units, but like they couldn't keep up at all, right? So right. if you watched, and everybody hated us, we shut them off for audio, right? So if you watch the show, sure. you can tell Jeremy and Rory were just sweating their ass off. I mean, buckets, right. buckets. But they
drive a nice troopy
what's
in
that?
The beginning. They drive a nice troopy
yeah, dude,
and then like,
awesome.
They're all
yeah,
happy in the
that.
Beginning.
I found that on the side of the road. It was just some dude that was like,
in the side.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like abandoned, but it was like just some guys. And I was like, this is an incredible vehicle. Like, this is the perfect vehicle for them to start the episode.
Oh, so did you rent it? Okay, you didn't buy it.
No, those things are all over the place. Like, if you wanted to, I suppose you could.
Okay.
I think it was excellent. It was perfect. It was perfect for them to just drive around the countryside and, you know.
Oh,
yeah,
awesome.
It was awesome.
So it's, I mean, this is a pretty big experience for you. I know some of the other shows you've worked on, and they're all great shows, but this is like jumping up a level. I was invited to the red carpet on behalf of Auto Trader. I wrote an article about it, which you can go read on Auto Trader Oversteer. And I've never been to a red carpet as a member of the press. And I got to tell you, I never want to do it again for many reasons, but it was kind of funny to witness. I was really only there to get a quote out of Jeremy. They're like, do you want to talk to the executive producers? And I'm like, I just want to say hi to Patrick.
Yeah,
like,
we had a nice chat on the car.
I literally said that. And I didn't say hi to, I didn't need to interview Rory, who's the co-host and executive producer. And as soon as he saw Auto Trader, he was like, oh my God, I love you guys. I sell cars on you. And Jeremy Renner was like, oh, Auto Trader, I buy and sell. I was like, fuck, I should have.
It is true. Like, they planned this better. They joke about buying and selling vehicles on Auto Trader all the time. It's hilarious. So I'm sure it didn't surprise me at all when, you know, they're like, Auto Trader.
Yeah, I wish I would have taken advantage. First of all, Hollywood red carpets are fucking weird.
It's a whole thing. Yeah.
The idea, we're going to get into this
okay,
a little
please,
bit.
Please,
I'm here. Because I was standing there for like 2 hours.
I'm here to
hours.
Give you my, you know.
So all these people show up to them just to be photographed and seen on the red carpet who have literally nothing to do with the show. And that is insane to me. Some of them are friends of Jeremy's, like that dude, Frank Grillo, who's a Marvel guy.
I talked to him after the fact. He was the nicest guy. He was
cool. He was. The chick from the multiverse yep. movie was there. She was super friendly. She walked early, but then there's like child Disney stars. And I'm like, my wife's like, take a picture of them to show your daughter. I'm like, I am not taking a picture with my phone of this child actor.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. But I did take a picture of one because I knew she was in High School Musical, the musical, and my daughter fucking loved that. So she knew who it was. And my daughter, you know, I was like, all right, I got to get the like. And then there's a part of me. Here's a part of me that's mentally not correct.
Which part?
I don't want to be on that side. I want to be on the other side. I do stuff. My goal is to be on the other side. I don't want to stand on the side of. Does that make sense?
You don't want to be.
I don't want to be.
You want to be doing the interview.
I want to be giving answers. Yeah. So, like, obviously, I don't see myself doing that anytime
Anything
soon.
Anything's possible, dude.
But
things happen overnight.
But time. I also don't want to be a journalist. Like, there were actually some like well-known. Entertainment journalist there because it's Jeremy Renner walking the red carpet with, I mean, obviously he just recovered from something he shouldn't have. So that's still very much big news. And also, since I'm not on the red carpet and a guest of Disney, theoretically, and I'm not going to, but I could ask questions about it because they said on the red carpet, there's no questions about the injury.
Well, because theoretically, everybody would have been only asking about that, and he was there to talk.
Right. Technically, I could ask them here, but I'm not going to because whatever. It's been covered in the press a bunch. So it was funny to see you on the red carpet.
It's funny to be
because I'm like watching you inch closer towards me, and it took you like an hour and a half, and the red carpet's only like 50 yards to get down there. So I finally got to hang out. We did the thing. You got roasted by Jimmy Kimmel inside, which I missed because we go inside. This is a big deal for them because more television. We're going to get to Cars in a minute. I promise everybody listening, but we go inside. I've never actually been to a full on Hollywood premiere like this. This was a big one because apparently it had a bunch of For Your Consideration people, which is how you get Emmys in Hollywood. So it's a big deal for them.
The place was packed. The Television Academy there.
They rented a theater in Westwood. There was a full, you know, the full red carpet. So I sat through an episode I'd already watched twice for research. Then they do a Q&A. I sat through the beginning of the Q&A because Kimmel was there and he was funny. And then I walked outside because they were setting up the after party. So I was the first one out there and I grabbed a tequila drink. And
always
a samosa.
In it for the free booze.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere to my left, like Renner was at a private table. Like, and then all of a sudden there was 1,000 people around me. I'm like,
there was literally 1,000 people in that theater. One of three venues insane. In all of LA that could have held that many people.
So it was the wildest shit, but apparently I missed Jimmy Kimmel roasting you, which is very funny, and I'm very sad
I
missed that. That's got to be surreal.
It was surreal. Yeah, it's like, you know, you're in a theater, there's 1,000 people. Jimmy Kimmel was on fire, man. He was funny. He was funny, but he wasn't pulling any punches anywhere, right? And then, you know, at the end, he gave me a good hard gut punch. Yeah, you're the EP of a show and you're there, so it's like, dude, you're in the game. If you're up there getting roasted by Kimmel, you're in the game, right? Was funny, and he was nice about it after. It's like getting roasted. It's like, you know, you watch the Oscars and you see Kimmel do his thing, and he's got some pretty hard hitting but funny jokes delivered at other people's expense, and they're funny,
right?
You know, you kind of felt like, shit, that must be what that experience is like.
Yeah, I mean, at least it wasn't Ricky Gervais.
I'd have been crying in the corner after. But you know, he was super cool after it came up. He's like, sorry, man.
Really?
Cool. Yeah, we all talked after. So the thing ended, everybody's filtering out, and the press wants to keep us all around for photos. So you're standing there, and it's like me and Renner and Rory and the other EP on the show and Kimmel. And he was super cool about it. He was like, you know, because he knew that, you know, I was up there with Renner, who's used to all that things, but you know, I'm not really. And he's like, sorry, dude. It was just, you know, it was a funny thing to say at the time. I'm like, dude, you're good, man. You're a total pro. Like, you're good. It was funny. Dude. Like, it was it was funny. So it was nice of him to say that, you know.
No, that's nice. Yeah, yeah. That's nice. I want to dip into the build crew a little bit, because you have Bender as your lead builder, who was so you hire you call out to your boy Bender, who worked with you. You were in charge of Truck Night in America, which I also wrote truck shit
for. Absolutely, yeah.
And I am, I didn't know this, not credited.
You're not?
I thought I was credited. Not in the first episode.
You must be on there somewhere.
I thought I was, but it's not on IMDb.
Well, no, you have to put your own shit on IMDb.
Oh, I never
okay,
do
well,
that.
Okay. That's just not how this
But it's not works. Listed. Like, it's not listed in the cast and crew on the Truck Night in America.
It's its own animal that has nothing to do with who is credited and not credited on shows.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's not
because I thought it's on my name in the credits of that show. I'm like, because I was like, there's Ezra Dyer. There's.
No, I've been in the business 20 years, and I have to go in every couple of years on my IMDb and like just like fucking clean it up. Like, yeah, nobody does that shit. I mean, like, there are people.
You need, like, if you have agents do it for you, right, or something?
People do it. No, agents wouldn't do that for you. But like, people do it, and sometimes like networks or production companies will have somebody just input everything for a show, but not always.
Okay, okay. Because I was talking to somebody about that show, and I'm like, I thought I know I was like. Consulting producer is the title.
Yeah, so you're on the credits. The writer standard. I yelled at somebody the other day. I'm like, bro, you got to go put your shit in IMDb. People actually look at that. And we're getting off topic here. But like, yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah. No, that's why. So ever since we brought the Hooniverse podcast back, Ron and I have wanted to, we still 99% of the time talk about cars, but every now and then we'll be like, let's talk about men's health a little bit on this episode before veering into cars. So let's talk about if I could become like, it's not a horrible comparison, but like, you know how like Rolling Stone is a music magazine that's about a whole lot more than music. If like the Hooniverse podcast could be about cars and a whole lot more than cars, that's kind of where I'd like to take it.
Hey, you know, renovations can talk about all this stuff. I will tell you why it's an appropriate show to be on a car podcast, because when, you know, the way that I ended up running the show is like a lot of people were put forward for the show, and fucking Disney, they wanted like the executive at Disney is incredible, and she wanted like a car person to like run the show, because she knew what audience she wanted to hit. She knew.
Was she the one I met in the VIP area?
Yeah, Nicole. She's incredible. And we talked like multiple times a day, every day. And like, she knew what she wanted out of the person to, you know, steer the ship on the show. She wanted like a car person. You know what I mean? She wanted somebody that, like, got that audience, that got the audience, that understood the audience and would like listen to this podcast. And like the people that are going to watch a build show, right? And, you know, when I spoke with her, and I was like, it had been a while. They had talked to a lot. But when I spoke with her, like, we like clicked immediately on that. You know what I mean? And I think it was that combined with the fact that I've done like a bunch of other big stuff that's like not car stuff. So I think that the fact that like I was a car person, like that is what ended up, you know, landing the show, you know, because like I really cared about that stuff, and I wanted the viewers. I looked at the viewers like myself, right? So everything we were doing, I'm like, would I want to watch this? Because I watch car stuff. Like, I am their core audience. I'm the audience they want for the renovation show. So it was perfect. So anyway, so that's like, it's very much like it's not a car show, because there were, you know, doing like builds on buses, but it has that philosophy to it.
Yeah. It definitely does. Now, let's step away from renovations. Totally. I know we were going to talk about your build crew, and they're an amazing build crew. But let's step back.
Top gear.
Do you miss it?
I do, but it was also a moment in time, right? That type of car content, I feel like, the Top Gear that I ran, I feel like, was right at the end of, there's so much of it now. And there's such great stuff on like YouTube and like people like there's no more television about car reviews. That like doesn't exist. There's like car adventures. And if you watch the Grand Tour, like that is what it's become. It's like, that's what people wanted to see, the adventures. The review stuff, there's incredible car review stuff like on YouTube, right? It's really good, right? And so you don't need a television show to do that kind of thing, but we were kind of still doing that. And yeah, I mean, I miss it, but I also know that we can't go back to that. You know, it was, to me, it feels like it was a moment in time. It was incredible though. I loved it every second. I loved it. It was a dream come true for me.
It's amazing that, so I firmly believe that TGUS was knocked down right as it was.
I thought our season was incredible. Like, I really, and I'm totally biased.
Six, right? Season six.
But like, what's that?
Season six, five, I think, right?
Five. I mean, it was just a great, we did stuff that the hosts were clicking. We were doing really fun stuff. And it was like,
they're friends
to this day. Yeah.
Today, which like, because they were given enough time over those five seasons to become friends, and then history was like, okay,
yeah,
you guys are going to get way too expensive. We're done.
They were great. It was so, we had a lot of fun. Making
they were
it.
Great. It was fun too to be a part of that, because like you'd be like, we're in Cuba and one of our cars fell through and we need notes on another one right now. I'm like, all right.
And then, you know, that was always really stressful, but also a lot of fun. Like, you know, yeah, we're in Cuba and like all of a sudden we got like a Lada or something. And I'm like, I don't know shit about Russian car. Kidding me. And like, I mean, we just have these nutty experiences, you know, and it was, I mean, we raced like a little hot rod Lada, like, across Havana. I mean, that's awesome.
Would you have imagined if I said back to whatever, were you season one on that? No, I didn't think so. Like three, did you come in?
No, I only did season five. I was kind of part of season only season five. I was kind of part of season four a little bit, and I knew I was around, like the guy that ran season one and two, at least, John Hessling, did a great job. He really built those guys, right? And you know, which kind of, it was a different show in season one, but you know, I was around. Like, I had talked to him about season one and season two. And at the time, I was
they still have the studio BBC
doing other things, you know.
Yeah,
but you know, and then season four, I almost ran, but I had another project there that, you know, I was working on. So I ended up doing a season five.
Okay. If go back to like season one, because you've seen it. If you look at those three hosts and you had to pick like which one would be doing the most now, Rutledge would not be the answer, right?
No,
that dude is killing it.
The thing is, Hollywood is a town of like overnight successes that take a decade, right?
That's a good way to put it.
He put in the work. I mean, Rut is a true talent. Right, he's so funny. He's so engaging.
And to pause, Tanner's doing fine, but he was doing fine before the show.
Like, I don't know that he particularly like wants to be a television host. I have no idea.
Right? No, he doesn't. I think he likes stunt driving and racing. And
I mean, dude, he's on a deal with McLaren, right? I mean, that's incredible, right? I mean, that's
And he's the guy for John. He's stunt driving for John Wick.
That is just like that's dream stuff, right? You know, and.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Rut, I think Rut, I don't know this, but he's so good now. It just seems like he, you know, like any skill, just put in the work to be really great at that. And he is fantastic now.
Yeah. Yeah. Rut was so kind when he got Floor is Lava, which is a Netflix show. My daughter loved it.
Great.
And she asked, I'm like, oh, I know him. And she's like, you know him? I was like, yeah. She's like, what happens when they go in the lava? And so I sent Rut a note on Instagram. I was like, hey, my daughter is scared about what happens when the people go in the lava. And he sent me a note. He's like, what's your daughter's name? And I said, Sloan. He sent back a video saying, hey, Sloan, thanks for watching the show. They're like, he sent back this whole video thing. Like, Rut is like the nicest guy. And then all his success is extremely well deserved. But back to the question. If you looked at Tanner Adam, who was coming off the Dennis Leary show, you know,
I think Rut still had the frosted hair. I think he had frosted hair, like Guy Fieri.
He probably had like an accent, like a NASCAR accent on season one. that's good shit. All right, now outside of television cars, you have two interesting projects going on.
Interesting. Not how my
one
wife
of them you're probably
it, yes.
One of them you're probably spending too much money on. That is not the Porsche.
That's correct.
So why don't you introduce that one?
So I've had a Jeep Cherokee XJ in 1997. It's a 2-door 5-speed, which are a little bit more rare, and it is the car I drove across the country in 2000 when I moved out here. And I drove, it was in great condition then. I drove it around for a while, but it slowly became like a beater Jeep. And then I started to get into four-wheel stuff, and I decided, like, I want to build this thing out. And as it happens with these projects, wanting to do it and doing it have been two different things. So the current status of it is I own a set of 2022 Jeep Rubicon axles that are on a pallet with the disc brakes and all the parts in a pallet in Alabama waiting to ship out. I have a builder in San Diego that's ready to go. The car I steal daily but has no interior because I tore that out, and it's all dynamat now. And I have a story, and this is true. I just drove it out to Palm Springs to meet my family, which is the first of the furthest it had gone in years. And I was leaving to come home, and I didn't have any shoes on because, you know, it's Palm Springs. We're on a bit of a vacation. And I like to drive barefoot. I think it's fun, especially when driving a manual. I love it. I just love it. I think it might be my summers in upstate New York. Like, it's nostalgic.
I know people like that.
I know it's polarizing for people. I'm one of the people that likes it. So I'm driving this fucker, and this is true. The floor was so hot, I had to stop and put on shoes. And that is 100% true. The transmission to that transmission on that fucker gets so hot that it just radiates through the floor, and with no carpeting or anything in it, it heats up the entire car. And I already knew that, but I didn't know that the floor was literally too hot to touch with bare skin for any nice. Length of time. And so it's embarrassing to drive around. I had it painted, so the exterior looks okay. I already had the fenders cut, the fender froze itself. I've got all the parts. It's like ready to go. So now I think this summer I might just send it to the people for the build. I say that all the time.
Okay.
I say that all the time.
Now,
I love the car.
I
some people think I should get rid of it. I can't do it.
No, don't.
I can't do it. It's awesome. I love it.
Do not. And then the other car, which is more recent that you picked up, is a Porsche 944.
I love it. So I started shopping for. I had a budget that I wanted to hit, so I started shopping in 2019 for a. I'm like, I want a cool sports car. I'm okay with getting a bit of a beater. And I was into 996s. And this is before they started shooting up in price. And I could get one to hit my budget. But, like, I sent four of them to PPIs. And, and you know, each of them have a fucking thing, man. It was like, yeah, I wanted to write a piece on, like, how – you know, the whole buying and selling of these things, like each of them discovered something. And once you discover something that's not disclosed, you lose trust, as I do.
Oh, by the way, Patrick said he wanted to write a piece. Patrick has written for Hooniverse before. So in those instances, I was his show.
You were my boss. But you were my
continue,
boss.
Continue. Soon to be Emmy winning Patrick.
Absolutely crushed me on the double spacing. I still think about it to this day. So I'm shopping these 996s, and then, you know, I talked to a couple people, and then I realized that, like, I wasn't really going to be happy with one unless it was a turbo, because I didn't want to deal with it. It's not just the IMS. Like, there's a lot of bits and bobs in those non-Mesger engines that are, like, plastic, and I don't know. People might light me up for saying that, but, like, that was my feedback when I started to do deep dive research. So then I was like, what else can I get for the money? And I just kind of started to fall in love with, like, the 944 Turbo. Like, I just – everybody I knew that had one, like, loved it. People that had one, I got rid of them, regretted it. And I was kind of a lark. I just started looking at those. And then I found one that, well, it wasn't too far from my brother's house. It was an 89, the last year they made it. So it had all the parts from the 88 Turbo S, right? Yeah. Oh, so there's no Turbo S for 89. There was their turbos, and then 88 had a Turbo and a Turbo S. And then for 89, it was a turbo. And it was like it was the last year. It was like all the stuff, all the pieces.
Nice.
And, you know, it needed a little work. It's not like perfect, but like I just went out and I drove it. And I was like, I fucking love this thing. So I bought it. So I bought that. And then I think it had been tracked or something. So the engine, I mean, again, I am looking for something that I can drive around LA and just do whatever. And I'm not looking for like a garage queen here. So right. There's a guy, a very highly respected 944 dude in Advanced Auto Parts in upstate New York. So he looked at it and he's like, yeah, somebody like took off some stuff. You know, they tried to put the original air filter back on, and you know, he's like, it's not put together right, but it's like it looks, the engine's great, you know. So that got, you know, I was able to get a pretty decent price, and he inspected all the normal things, engine, motor mounts, and the thing is, the car had like $5,000 or $6,000 of like aftermarket parts on it already. Like it had like a dual wastegate, from Lindsay Racing out of Oklahoma, which is like the 944 parts place. So I'm like, God, it just seemed like a good value to me because this guy drove it and said it was great. Mechanically, it just needed, the engine needed to be cleaned up because whoever had done the work like didn't do, you know, two spec work. So I gave it to him. I bought it. I drove it for a weekend around upstate New York. Dude, it was that car, it's 89. You're at highway speed, 80 miles an hour, and that thing would pull strong to 100. I mean, I think there might have been like some extra boost happening in there. But I mean, it was amazing. Amazing. It shifted. The shifting is a little clunky, but I know that thing.
How far out is that car?
I think it's red. I mean, I was calling. So anyway, it's been.
Because the car's still in New York,
right? A year and a half. I'm in LA though. So like, you know, he knows that. So I haven't talked to him in a couple weeks. I was calling like every week. So I just wanted to give him a break. What he was replacing the bushings on all the control arms, which I know is a bit of a project. So I gotta call him again before summer because the goal is to get it for summer because I want to send the Jeep.
It's funny.
I want to send the Jeep to the shop.
Well, it's funny though. You said he's had it for a year and a half, and I went, oh man! And I then remembered I've had a wagon for 9 years with no engine. So I think you're doing okay.
I hope so. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, I got to get that damn Jeep worked on, and then we're gonna go drive the Mojave Road together, right?
Well, yeah, but what's you just were automatically segueing into what's your trophy truck shit?
Oh,
what's
trophy going truck on stuff. There? So I'm helping out on a show right now. I think it was announced. I feel like I can talk about it. We've been all around. So it's a show that's coming out this summer and it's Swizz Beatz, famous hip hop.
Oh, that show. Producer. They're still shooting.
Well,
them?
There's one beat to pick up. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Sorry. I just know you've been working on this show.
Well, no, they're not still shooting. It's in post right now.
Okay.
So
okay.
Yes, there's gonna be
Swizz Beatz big six car person
on trophy trucks. I hope in the show.
All right.
I'll leave it at that. All right. And he's fucking amazing, by the way. Like, you get, sometimes you meet people, you get why they're so successful. Like, he's just like the coolest, most like charismatic, talented person. Like, he has a beat machine. Oh, really? Dude. And he would just be chilling, making beats on his beat machine, and they would be like incredible, right? Yeah, wow. I mean, like, you could put that out as an album, and it's just like him fucking around, like, you know, on set.
It's like there's no comparison in the automotive journalist world. Like I wouldn't be reviewing a car and then in between be like, yo, the Ford Raptor that I'm not driving, it's going to be
yeah,
sick.
Yeah, I know. Like, well, like you get it. Like,
there's no comparison.
You interact with these people and you're like, I get why you're so successful. Like you're cool and charismatic and like talented and fuck, dude. Like it all makes sense. Anyways, he's fantastic. People should watch that show. It's going to come out on Hulu this summer.
What do you think you're getting a season two of Renner's show, or do you already know?
No, I don't know, genuinely. I know that the feedback has been incredible. Like, I've never seen or heard feedback like this.
Feedback is good.
Feedback is great.
Views matter, right?
He's super excited about the show. You know, like everything, it just depends on how many people watch it. You know, I mean, we'll see. You know, it's just a numbers game. You know,
the crazy thing is too. Like, you might just scoop up views just because you have a fucking Avenger.
Oh God, I'm
as
sure
your
we're scooping
host,
up a lot of views because we have an Avenger. I'm sure people will tune in for
a
that.
A lot.
They'll
You even have a second Avenger in one of the episodes.
Yeah, Anthony Mackie, and he was fantastic. But the thing is, people will tune in to see the Avengers, but if they don't like the show, or to see Jeremy, they'll tune in to see Jeremy, but if they don't like the show, I don't think they're staying for multiple episodes. But the show is... It was designed... It's just very easy to watch. There's not a bunch of, like, fake drama. The builds are crazy. It's like, you know, you've never seen builds like these before anywhere. We're going to cool spots, and there's some great music.
I really like
it. It's just a really fun, cool show to watch. It's easy to have on. You watch it with your kids. It's like people love it. Yeah,
I really liked, and it was unexpected, but the quality of there's like random bits of animation, and we've talked about it, but I'm bringing it up here. It's like when they're explaining things or when they're describing the organizations or whatever, the animation is like,
oh, dude,
really
we had
cool.
A top notch, world class animation company, Flux, out of New Zealand, do the animations for the show. And you might wonder, like, why are you doing an animations build show? And like the thing, the show, I mean, Disney is incredible when they want to get behind a show. And there was a goal to just do a build show, but do it differently and do it so there's something for everybody and expand that world. And Jeremy wanted to expand the world, you know, like, how can we make this bigger? How can we plus it up? You know, and when you have a Disney and a Jeremy Renner, like, all saying, like, how can we plus this up and make it big? And, you know, Disney is obviously known for their animation, so they thought it'd be awesome to have an animation piece in. And then me and the... you know, the exec from the show just thought, like, what, like, I'm like, what would you use? Like, we're shooting everything. Like, what would you use animation for? Like, we can physically show the build. Like, we don't, you know, we have a cool 3D graphic which shows what we're going to build, so that's neat. But we wanted more.
But that's
been
done.
Yeah, it's been done. And, like, we wanted more. And I'm like, okay, the only thing that you cannot visualize is, like, what's going on in Jeremy's head at moments. Like, when he knows what the goal of the vehicle is. There's like a moment in each build where like he understands what he wants out of the build, but he doesn't know like exactly what the build's going to be. Do you know what I mean? It's like when you realize you have a goal, you know, but you don't know like how you're going to do it yet. Like, how do you visualize that? How do we visualize this goal?
It's like how I listed this Jag behind me on Cars and Bids and my goal is money. And I don't know how I'm going to get there, but somehow on Monday,
it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I have faith. It's going to be raining. It's going to be raining dollars down there.
I'm already happy. Okay. So
yeah. So that was the goal. The goal is to like use animation at two points in each show to kind of try to visualize what, you know, was going on in Jeremy's head, like at that time. In the build cycle, right? And, you know, and it has to do with, like, how he's trying to take these vehicles and what his goal is for the end user of them.
Yeah.
They're just really cool to watch.
Here's the crazy thing to me. Here's the crazy thing to me is you guys have come out with a build show that networks that produce build shows haven't thought to do. And that's crazy. Because why hasn't, and I shouldn't say this because Motor Trend is about to pay me for a new show, which I haven't even talked
about,
which is coming out.
Oh, God.
We can't. I haven't been given the green light to, but hey, stay tuned, everybody. But like someone like a Discovery, which is now Warner Brothers, you know, whatever. Why has there never been a build show? Well, okay. Why has there never been an automotive build show to help people? Like, and I'm not talking about Pimp My Ride because they helped visually or sonically with sound systems, but they never like fixed the fucking engines or the gearboxes. Whereas like you're giving, that wasn't giving, Pimp My Ride wasn't giving back. Pimp My Ride was an entertaining show in its period, you know, whatever. You guys are creating things where you're actually, hopefully those buses actually, I especially the India one, how can it not? But I do hope the music studio one works. I hope the wreck one
oh,
works.
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, I was hope those... just last night with Big Brothers Big Sisters, the charity in Reno. Like, they are so psyched. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's great. I mean, it's...
My mind, though, goes to, like, all right, now they have to pay. They're a charity organization, so they get a break, but who's going to pay insurance on the bus?
And get yeah, well, like, here's the thing.
I start thinking about that.
Let's talk about that. So here's, like, we had a significant vetting process behind the show. So what's important with the what we're doing is we're not giving these vehicles to people, right? We're giving these vehicles to organizations, not just regular organizations. Not just, like, any, not mom and pop places. We're giving these to organizations that have capital and have boards and have the ability to maintain the vehicles, right? And that was all, we vetted
That's good.
Prior to, you know, agreeing to do this project for them. So, you know, we put the work in ahead of time to say, like, you know, one, does this work for you? Like, how can we make something cool for you? But do you have a place for it, right?
Yeah, oh,
like,
yeah,
do you have
sure.
a place for you? Can you maintain it?
Yeah.
And like, listen, there's, you know, there is a transitional period where they're getting help. You know, but we wanted to make sure that they were getting these vehicles, but they were organizations that have the capital, the personal, the personnel to manage them. Right. And, you know, I mean, the vehicles are, the kids love them. The kids are, like, obsessed with them. But, like, they're also really help these charities, like, draw in more interest in people, too, you know? And that's extremely helpful for them, right? So,
yeah. I, at the premiere in L.A., the organization from the very first episode, which was based out of Chicago. It's an organization called Base, which does amazing stuff. You guys built a mobile music studio. I saw them walking by when I was standing there, and I had to stop and say something to one of the guys, because I told him he had the best line in the whole episode when he talked about, because it's Chicago based, and he said, you know, we have the north side and the south side. He's like, I'd rather just have the whole side. I'm paraphrasing. It wasn't exactly that. He's like, we want to have the whole city supporting the kids. And I was like, that's the best line in the whole episode. And he stopped. And he turned to me and he shook my hand. And he said, thank you. And blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
That's Frank. He's amazing. Like, he's an incredible
person. And like, fuck that. Yeah. Thank you. Like, what you're doing is incredible.
They're an incredible organization. And like, what they're doing for the Garfield Park region of Chicago is tremendous. I mean,
It was wild. I actually feel like self-indulgent even saying that, like I said this to him, like, you know, like there's that part of it. But just to see them there and enjoying their moment was really nice too. Cause even though, like, the funny thing, this was really funny. There was a live band playing, and like every other song, the lead singer would be like, Jeremy Renner, this is your night. This is for you. And like, I even saw people be like, we get it, bro. Like, you don't need to fucking keep saying it. Like, congratulations. Like, I think he's left by this point. You know, like,
I think he's home.
Yeah, he's tired. I don't know if you know, he's still recovering. Technically. Good night. Rory's still here.
He's still going. It up.
Yeah, but that shit was funny to me. The show is great.
Thank you.
It's on Disney Plus. Everybody go watch it. And then watch Patrick's Swiss Beat show when that comes out on, did you say Netflix?
It's Hulu. And it's the Onyx Silo on Hulu. And that's going to be this summer. It's not released yet, but Swiss has been, you know, posting about it a little bit here and there. I mean, I don't want to disclose anything more about that.
You know. Sure. Just keep an eye out.
I mean, he's like Swiss.
I've heard some of the episodes they've shot, and there's some really cool shit outside of this country.
He's great. There's some incredible stuff in the show, and Swiss is you know, he's fantastic. He's incredible, and the adventures that we go on are great. I mean, it's gonna be cool. Yeah, we'll do this again. We'll do this again this summer when that show pops.
Oh yeah, sure. There you go. I don't think Hulu will roll out the red carpet quite.
That was a once in a lifetime experience. That red carpet is like, I mean, it was off the hook. I mean, Bob Iger was there. That's crazy. That is nuts. Bob Iger was.
And then the other dude from Marvel, with the hats. Yeah, the baseball cap guy. I saw him there.
Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like.
Frank Grillo was there. The chick from the multiverse was there. I don't get starstruck because you live here and you know 100 people who work in the industry. Like literally, I'm talking to my friend who produced a show with Jeremy Renner. But there was a few people on that red carpet.
I mean, like, I don't get starstruck really, but I mean, when I saw Bob Iger and Dana Walden standing there like next to me, I was like, I couldn't talk. I mean, you do not get bigger.
Was
in this,
Bob
in
the Iger the one who was just kind of milling around for a while?
Like, you simply don't, you know. So just to have them at a premiere of a show that like I spent the last year making was, I mean, that's going to a career highlight for the rest of my life.
Was Bob Iger the one who was like milling around towards the end of the red carpet for a while?
He came in mid red carpet. It just came in from the side, actually, like kind of near where you were standing. Like he didn't come down the carpet. He came in from the side.
No, but he like stood there for a while. Yeah, yeah. Right. And he looks like the dude from MASH, kind of.
I mean, he's an older dude. Oh, you know?
I saw that guy.
He's all black.
I think I saw a guy. I'm like, that guy looks familiar, and I didn't know who it was.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
saw him on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. Okay, yeah, I remember him.
I'm like, that guy looks familiar. I didn't realize it was Bob fucking Iger. Holy shit. Okay, I live 15 minutes from your park, sir.
Yeah, the guy's a legend. He's a legend.
That's wild. All right. So keep an eye out for Patrick's future shows. Go watch Renovations. And then is your Instagram public?
Yeah,
so if people want to see your fucking cars.
I post, you know, I'm not like prolific, but, you know, I try to post cool car stuff and, you know, fun travel.
What's your account?
James,
what's your account name?
James Patrick Costello just James Patrick Costello. At James Patrick
there you go.
Costello, Costello.
See? All right, there you go. Go follow that. Go do all that shit. Go watch his shows, and then next week I'll be back. I've saved all the questions that I was supposed to ask Ron. I actually wrote up a whole thing planned. I actually planned out an episode where I was going to talk about this car.
I mean,
and other auction cars, and then Ron. Okay, hold on. Let me see. I'm going to pull up the question. No, fuck it. You said it. We're doing the questions. Let me see. Where are the questions? Wrong album. See, now they're getting used to the old school podcast because I can never find my shit. Oh, there are only four. Top three favorite sports
to
watch.
Top three favorite sports to watch? I watch a lot of Formula One. And, you know, I know I'm a nerd. I watch the practices and I watched this shit before Drive to Survive was even like in production. Like I'm like a nerd like that. And here's the thing about Formula One, you get into it for the racing, but you stay for the soap opera. So like once you know who all the drivers are and like all the shit happening, like it's kind of fun. The kids like it. It's got that international vibe to it, you know, so there's a little bit of education happening. So like I watched that. You know, I've got some soccer players in the house, so we'll put on soccer. And then fall, there is nothing like a Sunday at home in the fall where you're kind of in the kitchen, you're doing other things, and there's just NFL just kind of like filtering through the house all day. It almost doesn't matter who's playing, you know. I am a Patriots fan. Yeah.
So
I don't watch
my first pick would be basketball. But actually beyond that, car racing, not Formula One, not NASCAR. We're talking like V8 supercar or endurance
racing is probably I agree.
Yeah. You know, Sebring, Daytona, Le Mans. That's what I would prefer to watch.
That's like a commitment, though. The thing, you know, it's like.
You check in, you check out. And I got to see one live once, which was one of the coolest things I ever saw. The Nürburgring race. Dangerous Russ M3. Dangerous M3. Mechanic is charging less than 50% of labor rate to swap engine. How long I can be mad it's not done?
Don't hold on to
it. You might have to wait. Yeah, that's if you're getting 50% on the labor of an engine swap, you got to be just like, oomsa. Like, it'll be worth it in the end.
There's a television-ism that I think was probably in a lot of businesses, which is good, fast, cheap, pick two, right? So, yeah, I mean, yeah. I think you kind of apply that to everything, and it's almost universally true, and I haven't been able to figure out a time when it's not true, so.
Sinuay Xavier, who's an amazing photographer and director, if a man named Ian names his daughter Lillian, is that funny or weird? I think it's funny. Lillian.
Oh.
That's funny.
It's funny. That's yeah, funny. If you wanted to give him a little dig, you'd say it's clever, right? But yeah. It is like I didn't get it at first. That's once funny. Really that's enunciated, great. I get it.
Lillian, instead of like that's Lillian. A better way than doing a junior. Lillian, Dissonance Smithing. What's the over under on the value of overland gear sold but never field used by the owner?
Very high.
Like. To the stratosphere high.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, they most likely are using it for their use case, though. Because their use case was probably not overlanding. Their use case was driving around town, feeling cool, driving the overlander. You know what I mean?
Ooh, that's a fair argument, but he said field okay, yeah, use that's specifically well, if your question. Field however,
is Whole Foods.
Right. No, your translation of the question is a good translation of the question in favor of those with their Max tracks that have never been unbolted.
Well, let me just say, like, shout out to the Dissonant Smithing guys for making me a watch strap.
Oh, yeah, awesome. Really?
I was
that's awesome.
Today. I'm super stoked on it. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
That's so cool. You'll be
a tiny watch. It was my dad's. There's no strap on it. It was like a 17 mil, you know, thing. Like, I couldn't find anything I liked that was cool.
Oh, yeah. Nothing yeah, between I the mean, lugs, like tiny. Nothing. Yeah.
I was like, fuck it. Then I sat around for another year. And then I asked you, and then you recommended them, and fucking he nailed it, dude. I'm stoked. I can't wait.
That's so yeah, good to I'm hear. Stoked. Yes. Awesome. Supporting small businesses. Dissonant Smithing.
Yeah, and they're incredible. Like, knew every answer to every question awesome. Was like sending me stuff immediately, responsive. It was great. Great experience.
Yeah, no, I got to get him a lug width on one. He's going to do another one for me on an old app. I found this old Omega at a pawn shop that wasn't running for like $100. Yeah. But I got it running for $300, which is pretty good for vintage Omega. So whatever.
There's a great watch guy. We'll talk offline. There's a great watch guy down by you. I go down there from here too.
I know where there's a really good one in Costa Mesa, which I've had some work done. On the behest of DC Vintage Watches, who lives in LA. However, we're going to pause. Well, I'm going to stop recording you and okay. I will continue talking, but, and I got to get another beer in a second. James Patrick Costello, thank you for coming
always
on.
Always a pleasure. Like, I hope people go check out the show. I mean, like, the thing is, if you're not sure what to watch and just like pop it on, it's like really. Easy to watch. You feel good.
The builders are all characters.
Are awesome. We didn't even There's get no that. Fake fighting bullshit. It's just like cool builds.
Nope.
For a good cause.
Supportive.
Like, I worked my ass off to put some killer fucking music in there. So there's some great music, right?
What's the first song you did?
Bob O'Reilly, it's a, who, man.
Yeah, it was The Who. The first, he afforded yeah, it's the Bob Who.
I don't want to say, I don't want Disney to get mad at me how much we spent on music, but it was a lot, right? So, like, he watched it for the animation, which is world class. I mean, we had world class animation in it. We have amazing music. The builds are cool. There's like an international thing. The builders are incredible, right? And they each have their own personal stories. And so we have like a fucking psyops. Like special forces chick that's like one of our welders, right? She was
so
incredible.
Nice.
She's the best. We got Bender, you know, we've got this amazing local crew. I mean, it's just like a great team, and it's like I think everybody will love it. It's just like, yeah, and it's easy to watch with your
100%.
kids. It's like easy to watch with your family. You know, it's a great piece of entertaining, just television that is enjoyable without any baggage.
To sum up, Patrick put his
Yeah,
heart
a lot
and
of us
soul into
worked
this.
really hard on it with incredible people that are super talented.
Don't dismiss it as a celeb vanity project, because I promise you it is not.
No, man. I'll tell you this. I'll leave you with this anecdote. I was just up in Reno, and we did a premiere up there for the, like I said, for the first responders that helped Jeremy and for the Reno community. This was not a Hollywood event. This was an event for Reno. And after, I was just chilling with Jeremy, talking to him, and you know, he was like, "Oh man, I got this new garage space. You know, I'm like so psyched on it. You know, because we're in this other space." Which was great, but they have other projects they do there. They build all the Burning Man floats. And he's like super psyched on his new space. And he's like, "I got this new space and I'm like building this and this." And it's like, that is him, right? That is it. Like, this is
Yeah.
like, he's doing this anyway. You know, we were talking about like what kind of
Right.
lifts to get, right? And we were talking about like Benpack lifts. Benpack, great sponsor. They're great on the show, right? So we were talking about like how like, and he was just like so excited to like tell me about a space and you know say like, "Yeah, check this thing out. And here's the builds that you know I'm working on now." So if you want to see a massive movie star doing something that like he's doing anyway, that's like he's passionate about, like this is it.
There you go. There you go. Go watch it, everybody. Bye.